I remember Brother Jeff was talking about reading the mission books, reading the old missionary stories, the biographies. I remember being in turmoil with Dr. Livingston. His teeth had fallen out. He was dying of malnutrition. He was 1,000 miles from the closest civilized person. And the young man said, "I've got your book, Dr. Livingston. I'll take it back to London. You'll become the toast of England. You'll never want for a place to preach the rest of your life." And Dr. Livingston said, "I'm going to stay here. God put me here. I'm staying here." "Yes, but Dr. Livingston, you're going to be all alone." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'll always be with you. I'll never forsake you." Amen. He said, "Son, that's the word of a perfect gentleman, and God won't break his word."
Amen.
And they buried his heart and carried his body out 1,000 miles. It still challenges me.
Yes, sir.
Take your Bible, please. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. I've got another section that I didn't preach. I may touch on it a little bit as introduction, but I'm used to having that Tommy Tippy cup up here. Makes me nervous when that thing bounces around. If you don't know the story, I'm not going to tell you. Acts chapter 13. We're stepping into the middle. I want to back up and get a little background, and then I'll come forward with it. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, would you stand and honor the Word of God, please? Verse 1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they sought and served." That's my first two big points. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. "The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." The church sought and served. God separated and sent. Our theme for this conference is not the harvest, but the laborers. Call forth laborers to the harvest. Church, the only available laborers are right here. Up and down the pews of this building. That's the only available laborers that whole theme for this week applies to. Does not apply to the group down the street or across town or some famous preacher somewhere. It applies to this group right here. Nobody else. My question is, have you sought the Lord's will for this day? Have you sought the Lord's will for this meeting? Have you sought His presence in your life? We heard a tremendous testimony in the adult class this morning. Jeff Lang said, in a still place in a radio preparation room, he just asked God, do that in my heart.
Amen.
As she prayed that song, I was thinking about that prayer.
Amen.
Do that in my heart, Lord. Bury my heart on a mission field. Bury my heart. And get it out of Wayne Hudson and get it over to where you want it to be. Brother Allen, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please, brother?
Holy Spirit of God, we believe your presence right now. Lord, we ask you to move, we ask you to work. Our hearts, our ears, and our eyes are open to receive what you have for us now, Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it all begins with Jesus. Missions begins with Jesus. The church begins with Jesus. You know, there's Baptists around us who believe that the church was planted on the day of Pentecost. Get it right. Get it out of the book. 16:18, before Pentecost, before the Calvary, before, while Christ was here on this earth. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Thou art Petros, a little throwing stone, but upon this rock, this Petra, this unmovable stone, this great foundation stone, on this rock, he's talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've got a preliminary message for the message I'm going to preach on Christ's administration of evangelizing the world. See, that verse gives you the precepts. He's the builder.
Right.
Whether it's over there in the Hmong camp, or whether it's right here in Fort Worth, Texas, or wherever it is, He is the only builder.
Amen.
And He is the rock. Over there in Ephesians, He says that He laid that foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Christ Himself being the cornerstone.
Amen.
That's the church.
Amen.
And we're the church. And there's so much to... Why'd you build a church, Jesus? Because the fields are white to harvest.
Amen.
But the laborers are few. Because night cometh when no man can work. I must do the works of Him that sent me while it's yet day. Because of the urgency of the hour, because men are sinners. The heart of every man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And all is sin and comes short of the glory of God, And by one man's sin into the world, and death by sin. Now death is passed on all men, for that all is sin. The wages of sin is death. Lust, when it's conceived, breaks forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, always brings forth death. I've got an old statistic. I understand that the population of the world has surpassed 7 billion now, but when it was 7 billion, I got this statistic. When there were 7 billion people as the world population, I think it's 7.5 billion now or something like that. But at 7 billion, while I preach this message, while we sit in church, while we sing the song, 14,000 people will die in this world. They'll go into an eternity where they'll forever be removed from any chance of the grace of God or an opportunity to say, I want to be saved. And nobody told them. 14,000, that's 240 a minute, that's 4 every second who die without Jesus while we preach this morning. And then there's one more reason. Hell is real. He said over that parable of the kingdom over in Matthew chapter 13. He said, "Let those the devil plants the tares in this world. This world is the field. Souls are the harvest, and the devil plants tares in the middle of the harvest field." And he said, leave them alone. As he explained the parable, he said, leave them alone. And one day, when time is over, the angels will reap those tares and take them to a lake of fire and cast them into a lake of burning fire. Mark chapter 13, he says three times, don't take a good hand to hell. Don't take a good foot to hell. Don't take a good eye to hell. Because one eye in hell is still going to be more wickedness than you want to look at. One foot or hand in hell is it's a place where there's nothing but agony and death, eternally separated from God, where the worm dies not. And the fire is not quenched. It's a real hell.
Yeah.
Hell's still real.
Amen.
Somebody said to me this week, I believe it was that boy from Germany, I wanted to preach on hell, but I didn't know whether to do that at a mission conference. I can't think of a more fitting time to preach on it. You understand this? Somebody here is saying, well, I've got a life to live. Don't bother me with all that stuff.
Yeah.
You've got the grace of God, what you've got. You've got this moment by the grace of God. You've got this day by the grace of God. But hell's still real.
Amen.
And here's the greatest cause of all. Jesus came to save the sinners. It's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We look over there and see how wicked they are, and we look over there and see how wicked they are, and we wonder how God could save them. Look at yourself.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, every thought, every desire, every lust, everything I am comes up short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But he said, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me.
Amen.
So, that's the precept of missions. I didn't near do it justice. I'd like to preach it. Then there's the pattern of missions. Missions is people reaching people. Mark 3:14 said that he ordained 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. You understand it? That's the church. They had a Bible school and they went forth to preach. That's the church. And you'll see them increase from 12 to 70 to 120 in an upper room and then 3,000 and 5,000 and multiplied in the book of Acts. But it's the church. It started with him. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the Jews, was a place. If you go down to that place, and if you sacrifice at that place, and if you obey the commandments of that place, that's not New Testament gospel. The gospel's not a place. The gospel's not the walls of
right.
Metropolitan Baptist Church. The gospel's not some place. The gospel is a person.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Right.
It's not a Baptist or a Catholic. It's a person. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And except you have Him,
yeah.
He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You're either one or the other. You're either saved because you trusted in Him as your only Savior.
Amen.
It's not joining this church. It's not going through baptismal waters. It's not paying or doing or 100 other things that we think buys us some favor with God.
Yeah.
It's Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
He's the only Savior.
Right.
And He set the pattern. He gathered them. He taught them. And then He sent them out. He says, go over to Luke chapter 24. Before you go there, let's go to Matthew 28. You know this. We call it the Great Commission. I've moved from the Great Commission to five commands of a risen Savior. I mean, every one of the Gospels and Acts has a command from the risen Savior that says you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here He says, I've been studying this passage and I thought Penny was going to preach it for me yesterday. Down in verse number 20, He says, I am. When God says, I am, you ought to pay attention. I am, and up in verse number 18, all power is given unto me. You understand this? When He says all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, He's talking about the omnipotent God of heaven. He carries the omnipotence of God, the God who spoke it, and the worlds came into existence. The God who just said it, and the sun shined, and the moon, and the stars, and the one who breathed, and man became a living soul. All power in heaven and earth. And what he's going to say to us is, you can go in my power, you can teach in my power, you can preach in my power, you can baptize in my power. You can build churches in my power. Milton Martin made that statement. I've quoted it so much. He made it here in one of those mission classes one morning in a mission conference. God has called us to go to places we have not been and do things which we've never done with resources we do not have. Here's the resources. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's your resource. You don't know what you can become. You don't know what God might do with you. You do not know what in His program of missions, you do not know where you'll be.
That's right.
I've already been places, done things, saw things. I mean, I remember first trip to Mexico, Brother Bruce. And they gave me a young preacher who was just trying to get started in Matamoros. His name was Juan Becerra. He was living in the back of the church. And the church was about as big, maybe, as that platform. And after we'd been in a meeting in Rio Bravo and he'd interpreted for me, he said, Brother Wayne, he said, would you come down to my church? I said, well, sure I would. He said, I'd love for you to come. I'd love for my people to hear what these people heard. And I loaded up and went. And that's a long story. I can't tell all the story, but There had to be a breaking in my heart to go. I was doing something I'd never done before in a place I'd never done it before with resources that I could not muster up. Over the years, that little handful of folks, they came and stood and looked in the windows, came and stood on the streets and looked in the doors, came running down the aisles out of the dark, down through the years. Juan Becerra and his wife called me Daddy. His kids call me Grandpa. I've got a Mexican family in Matamoros.
Amen.
That I never thought that I would have. I never thought it would happen. The last time I preached in that church, 1,500 people. Six missions in Matamoros out of that church. All North Mexico is saturated with missionaries out of that church. God has done something that I did not think He could possibly do. Wake up, young people. Wake up, folks. This is not all there is. We answer to God not just for here. It's there and there and there. He's saying all power is yours through me. And the second word in that, after you get through with the power, if you can get past that power, the omnipotent, the omniscient, he said, I'm going to be there to the end of the world. You don't have to worry about running out of gas with God. You don't have to worry about getting out there on a limb and sawing it off with God. He's going to be with you. David Livingston said, it's the word of a perfect gentleman, and God always keeps His word. Get this. God wants to walk with you. God wants to be in you. God wants to work in you to do this work that He's called us to do. And then there's this. Always. I'm with you always. Omnipresence. He's always there. You'll never leave Him. You'll never lose Him. So I can't preach all that. That's part of it. Then there's the preaching and then there's the power. Power for going, power for teaching. I've already got there. If you look at your Bible, He's going to say to the church, you ought to get this down in the book of Acts. I took us over here to Luke. Let's look at the last verses of Luke. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye into the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Then He led them out, then He blessed them, and they worshiped Him, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing. Now let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 1, you know these verses. Acts chapter 1, as He ascended, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. You ought to underline that. The promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard of me. He said it over in Luke 24. I probably missed it, but he said in 20. I'll go back over here. You don't have to go back. But in 49, He said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's the promise of Christ to His church. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, you wait there in that upper room. Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power. Here's the scheme of his power. He does not give power so some guy can blow on somebody and they fall over. He does not give power so we can turn backflips and walk on pews and speak in some gibberish and be wondered at. He did not give me power in order for folks to look at us and say, wow, what power?
Yeah. Amen.
No. He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The power is for preaching.
Amen.
The power is for witnessing. Hey, we heard that this morning in that adult class. I wish everybody could have heard what we heard this morning. I'm glad I didn't miss it. I mean, hey, Brother Tom is our missionary. He was right. We've heard it for years, but we've got used to it. Don't forget this. He prayed in a dark room all alone with God and said, Lord, let that happen to me. And God let that happen to him.
Yeah.
You can pray right now. God, use me. And tender your heart toward Him. You can do that. That's what this thing's all about. He's saying, call in laborers to the harvest. That resonates with me. Well, the first time I told Brother Jim, the first time I heard it, I went home and began to scratch out messages. This was one of them. If I can ever get to it, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
See, the laborers are not great talents.
No. Yes, sir.
They're not great personalities. They're just humble people.
Amen.
You read Acts. They just waited and prayed. They just looked and waited. And all of a sudden, the most ignorant, I mean, he had a leather breath mouth. He could put his foot in his mouth every time he opened it. And suddenly Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. God can use anybody.
Right.
And He'll use us if we'll let Him. So we come down to the church, and you see the church. I wish I could spend time on. I've got the source of power, the scheme of power, the stillness for power, and the service of power. And by that time you get through the book of Acts. But we come over here to the church. We're in Acts 13. And look at this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. I challenge you this for a New Testament study. You ought to go. Let me say this before I forget it. You can serve God outside of His church. You can be saved outside of His church. But you cannot be blessed like God wants to bless you and be used like God wants to use you outside of His church. You'll never know the extent of what God can do with you until you do it in the church. The church is that's the New Testament program for reaching the world. The Old Testament program was those Jews who Paul called the oracles of God. They carried the scriptures to the world. They were the examples to the world. They failed. But the New Testament message is the church. And if you want to get in the will of God and be blessed like God wants to bless you in His will, get in the church. There's some folks right here need to get in the church. Not just get in, get active in the church. Let God do something with you in the church. Give your heart to Him in the church. Let Him work through you.
Yes,
in the church. Well, over to Ephesians, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, I want to start at the back here. Chapter 5 says that Christ loved, 5:25, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That ought to be enough to make you want to be in the church right there. If Jesus loved you enough to save you, and if he loved the church enough to die for the church, you ought to want to live in the church. Amen, Brother Wayne. Not popular, but it's truth. Over in 21 of chapter 3, he says, unto him, see, missions is not Brother Jeff or Brother Kim or Brother Penny or somebody else. It's not that. It's him. So I remember when they used to say that missions was the heartbeat of God. No, missions is the heartbeat of his church. Amen. It's not a sideline of the church. It is before there's any other commandment come off. I mean, Paul hadn't wrote one doctrinal book over in the book of Acts, not one. I mean, there's no Romans to tell you how to live. There's no Corinthians or Ephesus or some of the others to tell you how to conduct yourself at the church. There's just the message of Jesus. And he said, you go and preach it. You go and tell it.
Yes.
The work of the church is to reach this world for Christ.
Amen.
Everything else is just the how-tos, maybe. He said, unto him, God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You say, how can I get in on that? Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. He said, you go wait till you be endued with power. When that power comes, you're going to be witnesses unto me in this whole world. And guess what? Every one of us is, are you saved? I'm not asking for hands. Answer to God.
Amen.
Yes, I am, or no, I'm not. You're one of the two. If you're saved, are you serving?
Amen.
See, the call goes, first of all, a call of salvation. Then next is a call of holiness. And I preached here a while back on, I used to put revival next. We need a revival of holiness so we can have a revival of revival. Holy people seek God for revival. Holy people separate themselves. Hey, look at these verses, these four verses we read. That church was already serving and they were already seeking God. They were fasting before God ever said, separate me. He didn't, until there was no message from heaven. They were, as the previous chapter says, they were first called Christians at Antioch. They're living for God. They're waiting on God. They're doing for God. They're in the plan and will of God. And suddenly, in a prayer meeting, he said, I want them too. He probably said those two. He speaks better English. I want those two. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. There's so much to say about that. I know I can't get it all said. So, verse 2 says, they were directed, look at it, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me. Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. They received direction from the Holy Spirit Himself. It wasn't any big boss that said. It wasn't any group of men who sat down and said, well, let's see now, who's got the qualification?
That's good.
If it had been up to me or you, we probably would not have called Paul. He was a Jewish terrorist.
That's right.
He was wrecking churches, remember, murdering. He's a murderer. He held the code of those folks that murdered Stephen. And when the light shined around him on Acts chapter 9, he was going to do it again. But in Acts chapter number 9, let me go there. Y'all can hang on to 13 if you want to. I'll just read one verse. In Acts chapter number 9, here's what the Bible says. Ananias was fearful to go down to lay hands on Paul so that he could see again and would understand that God was dealing. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Wow. Wait a minute. What kind of qualification you got, Paul? Well, I've just murdered some folks and I've put some in chains and I've been very zealous for the wrong crowd. But when he was already chosen. Do you understand this? Some of you guys are saying God can't use me because something I've done. Y'all understand this? When God says you're the one, you're the one. And He can qualify you after He gets you chosen. Paul was not qualified. He was just chosen of God. Do you understand it? He said He chose me when I was the chief of sinners. Best I remember looking back over these last years, He chose me when I had plenty of mistakes to make yet. When I failed Him time after time after time, He chose me. I don't understand why He would, but He did. Some of you are saying He can't use me. He can use you if you'll give yourself to Him. That's all I'm saying. So, He said, separate me. I want to say, separate who? Separate who, Holy Ghost? Separate who, God? Who you wanting? Well, first of all, the call, I want you to look at this passage again. The call came and said, separate me, look at verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. You know, part of our problem is, He says in 46:10 of Psalm, be still and know that I'm God. I remember going down to Denny's my brother-in-law. I remember going down to Denny's catfish pond over there on the back. He is a hillbilly up there in Missouri. And that pond was full of big catfish, and I knew it, but I went down there that day, and it was just a hot, still August day, and there was no catfish going to bite. And so I'm sitting out there on that dock, and over on the other, I mean, that water looks like a sheet of glass. Over there on the other bank, there's a big old tree, and I watched a leaf come loose and finally hit the water. And when it hit that water, you could see that ripple. And I would describe it as everything in that pond trembled. when that leaf hit the water. And that whole pond responded to a little old leaf falling off a tree. You know, our problem is we're full of television and we're full of videos and we're full of all kinds of activities and we don't have time to listen when the Holy Ghost is speaking.
Amen.
He's here this morning, friend.
Yes.
He said, "Where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst." Yes. He's here. He's come here to speak to our hearts.
Amen.
I really believe God's... I've been dealing with this message for 2 months. I believe God's put it on my heart for this morning.
Amen.
And there's somebody that needs to hear the Word of God. Hear the Holy Ghost. Hear the Spirit of God as He stirs in your heart. They were busy. They were workers. But they took time to seek God. That word fasting means they were seeking God. I don't know everything about fasting, but fasting just... Hey, there's a bunch of folks in this church fast that never fast. I mean, they fast to trim up their body. That's not fasting. Fasting, Bible fasting, is seeking the will of God. You might not have to give up a soda pop to do that. I don't know. But they were seeking God. While they were serving, they were seeking. And right in the middle of that, it's amazing, isn't it? When we get still before God, in the back door of the radio room, He'll speak.
Amen.
He'll move. He'll stir. He'll fill your eyes with tears and you can't continue what you're doing. And all of a sudden you got to change. I remember the night I surrendered to preach. I had struggled and wrestled and thought. I went to school 13 years at night to get my degree in electronics. And I just had got it. They were making promoting me to a superintendent out there at that chemical plant. I had retirement made. I had my job was secure. And God said, "What about me?" That night, I did not want to get in the altar. I wanted to get under the altar. And I just begged God, "Don't quit dealing with me, Lord. Let me be what You want me to be. All this other stuff does not matter if I want to be in Your will." Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, "Lord, I'll do whatever You tell me to do"? Don't say it if you don't mean it.
Amen.
Better not to make a vow than make a vow and break it.
Amen.
You better not say it if you don't mean it.
Hey,
when you got saved that day, you meant it, didn't you? If you got saved, you did. You cried out of your heart, "God, I want to be Yours." What? No, you're not. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
I believe old Simeon and Niger and the rest of them was saying, "That's what I want. I want to be what You want me to be. I want You to break my heart if You need to. I want You to fill me with Your power, and I want You to use me." And about that time, He showed up and said, "Separate me." Well, I got prerequisites. I can't go to all these verses. I got prerequisites for Barnabas and Saul. If you want these verses, I'll give them to you later. But first of all, they had to be saved men.
Yeah.
Separate me some saved folks. Not church members, but saved people.
Good.
Separate me some saved servants of God. Separate me somebody that I may have prayed with an old boy about 2 or 3 months ago, maybe I've said something to you. I've never prayed with a guy that prayed like that guy prayed. We were in the pastor study. We were the only ones there. And he was praying and he was saying, God, thank you for reaching all the way down into my old filthy heart. I thank you for going through all the corruption you had to go through to save me. Thank you for reaching all the way down in the filth of the sin that I was in and saving me. I've never heard anybody say that before. I've been thinking about that prayer ever since. He had to do that for every one of us. He had some not as dirty as others, but we all dirty dog sinners. That's all that he saves. He doesn't save the self-righteous.
Amen.
He saves sinners. And he had to become sin for us. He who knew no sin had to be sin for us to save us from sin.
Amen.
Wow. Save men, spiritual men. Over there in 9:17 a while ago, we got there. Let's see if I can get back there. 9:17. Ananias went his way, entered to his house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I don't have time to go there. Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. That'll explain when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13. The day you called, the day He saved, that day He gave you every bit of His Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Saved men, spiritual men. Man, over here in chapter 11, verse 26. Then Barnabas was sent down to Antioch in verse 22. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I mean, he made a mark. Those boys who, either one of these guys have not ever pastored. Either one of these guys have not ever been missionaries. He's just an emissary of the church of Jerusalem that's been sent over to Antioch to do business in Antioch with the church there. Check up on them for us. But he knows a guy over there that's got some power with God, and he calls on Paul. Paul, he remembers that light shining on the road to Damascus. He remembers that day when Paul lost his sight. He remembers that day when you read Acts chapter 9 and when Ananias got through with him, he got up and preached. He went to work down there at the temple. Not with the easy crowd. He went over with those Judaizers. And he said, you're going to have to be saved the way I got saved. And I kind of think Barnabas must have been there when he did that. But anyway, he knew, somehow or another he knew him. And so they're not just saved men, and they're not just spiritual men, but they're serving men. I won't say any more about that. But if you look at, I want to say this to this crowd right here. Acts chapter 16 says that there was a young man at Derbe of Lystra. He wasn't just a hay boy. He was a young man who had a good report of the brethren in that church. How's your report?
Good.
How's your report, young people? See, he wants saved people. He wants serving people. He wants spiritual people. And he wants sensitive people. I've already given you my example of that leaf falling. If that had been a normal day, if those waves had been splashing on that pond, if the fish had been going back and forth and snapping at grasshoppers and worms like they're supposed to, nobody would have paid any attention to that leaf falling over on that water. If Brother Jeff had been anywhere else but in that place all alone with God as he read that article, he probably would have passed it over, good story, and passed it on and went on his way. But instead, he was still before God. And look what God's allowed him to be and do. I just urge you to be sensitive to the Lord. Test it. I'm saved. I try to serve. I want to be available to you, Lord. Now, I ask you to help me to be still and listen and respond when you speak to my heart. I'm not talking about an audible. Seven times in Revelation, he said to the churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." That ear's down here. That ear's down here. You got an ear? If you're not saved, you don't have an ear. If you're out of His will, your ear may be plugged up with the world. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Saved men, spiritual men, serving men, sensitive men, and called men. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I've got a whole list. Chosen men, I've already shown you that over nine, just go to the 9th chapter, verse 15. The Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." While he's yet a murderer, while he's out in sin, while he's committed all these things, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Make sense out of that. And you're saying, because I fell down and skinned my knee as a Christian, I'm not able to be used of God. Get off of that. The devil put that in your heart. Turn yourself back to God. Get back with the Lord. Get a hold of God. Let Him speak to you. He wants to use you. You are a chosen vessel unto the Lord. And to what extent you'll let it, He'll use you. So he chose them. He selected them. And he separated them. And now he said to the church, and this is what this week's all about, verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I was very puzzled about these two verses for a long time. They sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. Now, wait a minute, Lord. You just told the church, and they sent them away. And then the very next verse says they were sent by the Holy Ghost. We get our word missionary off that word sent out. It's a Latin word, missio. Missionaries not in your Bible. But the sent ones, that's the missionary. And didn't God call you? Didn't He save you? Didn't He speak to you through His Spirit? Then don't you think it's possible for Him to send you? I do. How do we as a church send them? Let's see. Let me talk about the Holy Spirit sending. Over in 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore here he's talking to Timothy. Paul is talking to Timothy. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It was not the hands of Paul. It was the Holy Spirit of God, that gift of God. The gift is of God. No one else can give the gift but God. If he gives the gift, nobody can take it but God. So what am I supposed to do about a gift? I'm supposed to stir my gift. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to seek his face. I'm supposed to... Hey, can I say it this way? Get yourself in an atmosphere of God. Stay in church. Stay in your Bible every day. Start your day with the Bible. Get out of bed early if you have to. Start your day with the Bible. Pray every day. Pray, God, take me through this day. Just help me live this day for you. If you'll do that 90 days, he'll keep you in his will 90 days. He'll keep you if you'll help. Put yourself in the atmosphere of God. You look at, I don't have time to go back and chase Paul around, but you look at Paul and that's exactly what he did. He moved from being a rebel and a wrecker to being, name changed from Saul to Paul. God didn't do that. Paul did that for himself, and I think he did it because of his attitude towards the Lord. He's no longer the king. Now he's the servant. Do you dare to have a servant heart? Can you get out of your rights long enough to just have a servant heart?
Wow.
Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you'll do, that's what I'll do. They had a gift, and they stirred their gift. And I don't have time to run it all, but it's significant of the gift of God. It's significant of the extension of the church. You heard, if you was in that adult class, fella went over there to preach to Buddhists. And God put him over where they were needing the church. And the church that was here was transferred to the church that was there. And that church has been transferred to the other churches that were there. An extension of the church. Whether it's Tom Gooday or Bruce Martin or whoever, or David or whoever it is, they're still a part of this church. They're not separated from this church. They're an extension of this church.
Amen.
Paul said, Jesus said over, the Holy Spirit said in Luke chapter number 4, they reap down our fields. They're laborers that are reaping down our fields. We've got laborers in different parts of the world, Samoa or Idaho or down the street at a mile at a Mexican church or Mexico or Honduras or 100, all around the world, they're reaping down our field for us. And we owe them a debt of gratitude as being part of our church who God uses over there.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Don't forget. So, I've got to go on. And if you look at it, they're going to come back after their first missionary journey and report to who? The church. Acts 14:27. They're going to come back to the church, speak to the church. They didn't go back to the mission committee. They didn't go back to some organization or some council. They came and talked to the church. So what do we do? Colossians I got two verses, I think. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may be able, you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you, and that and them that are in Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis. What he said was, you got a man over here that loves you and is serving in your stead. Then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 24 and 25. If I can get there, I'll... 12:24 says, he's talked about the body. Beginning verse 12, he talks about the body. And then he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. First of all, church, well, you've got that little book right here. You ought to survey every name on that book and get a heart for the ministry that they're in where they are. Read it. And then we need to... come to this place where he said, I don't think I read everything I wanted to read over there. I'm going back to Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Yeah, laboring fervently. Yeah. He said, so we're, he says in verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's called intercession, supplication. There's only two ways that we can help our missionary. One of them is with financial support. The other is with our prayers. I think we're weak. If we, I read of a church in Houston last week that had promised $1 million in their faith promise. I know the church. I know the kind of people that are there, just working people. But if we send $1 million to the mission field and don't hold our missionary up in prayer, we haven't done what God called us to do. Brother Milton called it the ministry of intercession. Standing instead for that missionary who's on the field. It may be in trouble. We don't know. That missionary who has health issues, we don't know. That missionary that's facing problems, that we don't know, but he's our missionary. And we do him wrong if we don't hold him up before the Lord in prayer. That's what he said in Colossians. He didn't say you have to like him. He said pray for him. And then support. I've got a bunch of verses in Philippians chapter 4. You know, Philippians 4:13. Everybody knows that one, don't you? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Guess what chapter 4:12 says? I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. That verse has been taken out of context. It's not a victory verse. It's a trusting verse. Trusting God to supply the need. And he's going to say in 14 and 15 and 19, the rest of the chapter he's going to talk about the Philippians who have sent again and into Thessalonica, into the prison there in in Rome. Again and again they have sinned. And he said, your gifts have been refreshing to me. But he said, my main interest is in, are you praying for me? He said, my God will support. Here's another one out of context. He didn't promise this to every old dog that hunts. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Who did he promise it to? Those folks that were supplying to the missionary. That church that was supplying to the missionary. That's who he's talking to.
Amen.
We've got an obligation. I guess Brother Jim's fixing to take this faith promise offering. I hadn't even mentioned faith promise. You can go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, read those first 5-6 verses if that doesn't stir your heart to give. Those Macedonians who out of their poverty gave, not what they were able to give, but above what they were able to give. They first gave their own heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Then the rest of the giving's easy. And that's what this faith promise is all about. So that the gospel can go where you and I... Hey, they're reaping down our fields over there.
No.
We need to pay the reapers. And supply the reapers. I remember I went on wheat harvest 2 years. Started in Oklahoma, went all the way to Montana 1 year. And I remember cutting wheat at an Amish farm. Anyway, doesn't matter. They weren't Amish. They were the next step up. Mennonite. A Mennonite farm. And that lady would pile that table full at lunch. We'd go in, take turns and going in there and eating, and you didn't have to worry about running out. There's plenty there. But about 6 o'clock that evening, she'd come out to the field with all the leftovers. About the time the sun was setting, and we're going to go till 9 o'clock that night. And she'd feed us again. That's what he's talking about. That's the kind of support we need to be giving our missionary. Pray about it. Am I a saved, serving, sensitive, spiritual? Am I willing to support and supplicate for my missionary? Where you at? Have I ever heard anything from God? I got good news for you. There's a call comes out of heaven, and it rings down through all the centuries right down to this place right here. And God's still calling, saying, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your soul. I can fix the drug problem, the drunk problem, the sex problem. I can fix whatever problem you got because I have everlasting life. And I'll live in you. And you can be at peace.
Amen.
With my peace. He'd like to save you. That call, that salvation call is ringing this morning. Then there's that holy call. That church member that's living on the edge. Why don't you just get over there with Jesus and walk with Jesus a while and see what happens to you. Let him have your
way.
Service call. Paul said, I'm forgetting everything that's behind and I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In serving him. The call's ringing. Won't you let him have his way with you right now? I apologize going so long. I don't apologize for the message. You don't have to worry about the roast burning. It's already been took care of. Why don't we do business with God right now while He's here? Would you? We stand, heads are bowed. Father, please take charge. Please help in this service. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In His name I pray. Amen. Brother John. Do what He's telling you to do right now, please.
Amen.
God's been so good to us this week to give us what we needed in each and every service. So appreciate the working, dealing of the Holy Spirit in my own heart and life. You can be seated. If we have some ushers that would get ready with the faith promise cards, I'd appreciate that. Just want to answer a couple questions. You know, someone might be here and say, why do you... What is this faith promise thing and why do you do it? Well, it's very simple. We could outline it, but you've heard enough preaching already. But number one, it's biblical. Number two, God blesses it. Number three, it's beneficial. Man, I can alliterate even on the fly. God's Word lays this out for us. Can I have one of those cards? As Brother Hudson mentioned, you can't read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and not understand, and Philippians chapter 4 and not understand that God gets involved with this thing. And He indeed outlines in the Scriptures, when we're faithful to Him and we're willing to make a commitment to Him, He will bless and use us. And in His blessing, He'll provide for us all along the way. And it's beneficial because it allows us as a church to have an idea and understanding of what we would be enabled to do in the coming year for missions. That's why we do it. We've had missionaries visit our church this week. It'd be nice to know if we're going to make a commitment to help take care of them, along with the missionaries that we support around the world now. Six of our own and about 60 more that we're involved in. I can personally testify. I could give you many testimonies, but personally testify that God has done for me in amazing, amazing ways over these last 47 years as I've been obedient to Him in my faith promise giving. So, as you look at the card, it's very simple. There's no place on this card anywhere for your name. This is a commitment we want you to make between you and the Lord. It's not to me, it's not to Metropolitan, but God will use you to supply through Metropolitan Baptist Church. As it says here, in dependence upon God, I will endeavor, give my heart, to give each week, to give each, and again, whether it's weekly, monthly, or annually, my vow for the mission work of Metropolitan Baptist Church in the amount of. Whether you give weekly or monthly or do it annually, that's all. That's fine. But again, there's no place for you to place to put your name on this card. We want you to seek God's face, to seek what He wants you to do. If you get that answer from God, now listen. If God gives you that answer to your prayer, do you think He's going to provide it? Absolutely He is. Huh? Absolutely He is. And so we're going to pray, and after I pray, I just ask you to please, or wait, I'm going to ask the men, would you please pass through, go through and hand out those faith promise cards if you would. You'll have to chase him down, John. Brother Earl. I encourage young people. I've heard many stories about teenagers that God has been pleased to use in faith promise. Specifically, remember one young lady had prayed and asked God, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll give to faith promise missions. And she started baking fresh baked goods. Between the church family and others, she was selling those baked goods and made every dime of her faith promise during that year. God will do it. You've been all the way through. Father, I bow before you this morning and I thank you in Jesus' name that you have never failed in your promise to us. Thank you, Father, for that promise you made that if we call out to your name, you'd save us, forgive us, give us eternal life, and to never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, in this small way, we want to honor you. We want to be part of what you're doing in this earth, on this earth planet, to draw folks savingly, gloriously to yourself. Father, I'm thankful for each and every missionary that we as a church have the privilege and honor to be part of their ministries. God, would you be pleased to enable us to continue that. Lord, we want to even do more along the way. We want to reach even more precious souls for the glory of God and their eternal destinies. Thank you for all we've heard this week. Different fields, different people groups, different missionaries. Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you, God, the God of glory, would lead and direct young and old within these walls. Exactly what you would have each and every one of us do. And we will be quick to give you all the glory. It's not about us, Lord. We understand that. As we heard this morning, it's about Jesus. We will be quick to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you'd enable us to do in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen and amen. I encourage you, go ahead and fill out your card. Amen. Thank you, Miss Deborah. I want to say this. I am so grateful and really so humbled. God allowed me to be part of the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church. I'm humbled at how this church has faithfully served God through the generations. This church is nearly 100 years old. 2 years. 2023 will mark our 100th anniversary. And I was thinking the other day, I was told it was somewhere in the mid-70s that God began Faith Promise here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And I don't know how it all developed over the years after that. But I was quickly doing a little tabulating. Marsha and I have been here nearly 11 years now. In that 11 years, I know, I'm confident that there's been over $1 million given through this church to the cause of Christ around this planet. It's because of your faithful giving, your willingness to give. This is an unusual morning. It's different. We focus on the culminating of our conference and Faith Promise and all that. We're gonna go get something to eat now. We're gonna fellowship, enjoy the table together, and rejoice. Rejoice in what the Lord lets us do, allows us, enables us to do. Let's stand together. I usually lay this off on Brother John, but I'm going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the fellowship to come and have him come and sing our chorus. And please, if you're here today, you're visiting, don't leave. They've got a fellowship hall, beautiful food back there. We sure want you to share it with us. Father, we bow before you, and once again, thank you for this church family. Thank you, Father, for their willingness to some extent, even sacrifice for the cause of Christ around this earth planet. Thank you, Father, that they'd give to see these missionaries taken care of, that we could send them with what they need to do the work. Our prayers, oh God, we beg you in Jesus' name to use them. Use us. Use us all as your sent ones, Lord. That Christ Jesus, our Savior, would be honored and His name declared from sea to shining sea. Oh God, please. Please. Do it again. Do it in us. Bless our fellowship, Father. Thank you for those that have been laboring, even as we're here, for our food, our time together. Thank you for them. And I'm praying that you'd bless the food, bless the time together, bless the memorial service that will go on in a couple hours, Lord. Please help us to minister to the Birdwell family. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, would you come and lead us?
Let's sing A Soul Winner for Jesus.
A soul.